To guide us in our meditation today, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at the 23rd verse. St. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' This means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It follows that if anyone eats the Lord's bread or drinks from his cup in a way that dishonors him, he is guilty of sin against the Lord's body and blood. So then, everyone should examine himself first, and then eat the bread and drink from the cup. For if he does not recognize the meaning of the Lord's body when he eats the bread and drinks from the cup, he brings judgment on himself as he eats and drinks." Two religious activities that are most clearly identified with the Christian church are baptism and communion. All of the various Christian denominations and fellowships conduct baptism and communion, though there are variations in how they're done. In the Presbyterian Church, baptism and communion are regarded as sacraments, literally sacred things. Now, some Christian bodies have other religious activities that they also consider sacraments, but the Presbyterian Church limits sacraments to just those two, baptism and communion. Today, let's think about communion for a moment. Communion is a remembrance of the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples in the upper room just hours before he was betrayed and arrested. You're probably quite familiar with the story. After they shared the dinner, Jesus took some bread, then a cup of wine. He gave thanks to God, then urged his friends to eat some of the bread and drink from the cup. And as they did, Jesus told them to remember the flesh and blood of his earthly body, which he had devoted to serving God's will. That simple act, using ordinary table foods, was the inspiration for the sharing of communion by followers of Jesus to this very day. Communion is sometimes called Holy Communion. Sometimes it's called the Eucharist, from the Greek word, which means giving thanks. We get the term the Lord's Supper from the Apostle Paul. Paul described it in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, Greece. It's a faith community that Paul himself had spent a year and a half establishing. Well, after Paul had moved on, the church reached out to him with some questions and concerns. And one concern in particular was about how some people were misusing the Lord's Supper. And so he wrote his response in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, ironically, if the Corinthians hadn't experienced difficulty in how they observed the Lord's Supper, we might never have known that the early Christians even engaged in it. This is the only time in all of Paul's writings that he mentions the Lord's Supper. Now, one of their concerns was how some people were misusing the Lord's Supper as an occasion for gluttony and drunkenness. Let me explain. First, let's remember this. There were no church buildings set aside solely for Christian worship in the early days of the Christian faith. In those earliest days, Christians gathered in private homes, much like you're doing right now. Usually, the hosts were more prosperous people whose homes could accommodate a large crowd. The gatherings included a fellowship meal, and during or after that meal, the ritual of communion was celebrated. Well, apparently, some complaints arose that the hosts were inviting their friends to arrive early for the fellowship meal. They got the best food. They got cups overflowing with wine. And then when the less influential and the poorer Christians arrived at the time appointed for the fellowship meal and the prayers, they discovered that the food was picked over or maybe gone entirely. What's more, some of their fellow worshipers were overcome not with the Holy Spirit, but by their overconsumption of spirits. Well, when Paul learned this, he was appalled. To paraphrase what he wrote to them, "That's not the Lord's Supper that you're eating. The Lord's Supper isn't an advantage for the privileged few. By its very nature, our Lord's Supper is an act of sharing, of respect. It's inclusive. It's considerate." And then Paul provided the New Testament's only description of how the Last Supper and the upper room was being remembered by Christians living about 30 years after the time of Jesus. "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you," he wrote. And then in words that are familiar to many of us, Paul described the actions of Jesus in the upper room, sharing bread and then cup with the instructions, "Do this in memory of me." Paul's letter then gave this guidance for how believers should approach the opportunity to share in that bread and cup ritual instituted by Jesus himself. Starting in verse 28, Paul instructed them, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So what does Paul ask them and us? What does Paul ask us to do when preparing to receive communion? Now, he used those terms examine and discern. So what should we examine? We examine how our spirit conforms to the love and mercy of Jesus. Do you remember the story in the Beatitudes where Jesus describes someone preparing to worship with an offering, but suddenly they remember a grudge that someone holds against them? Jesus said, "Leave your gift and go and make peace with that person. Then you'll be in the proper spirit to offer your gift to God." So we examine our spirit to better attune ourselves with the Spirit of Jesus. Now you might wonder, how Christ-like do I have to get in order to be worthy to receive the Lord's Supper? Well, there's no answer, because God's grace alone makes us worthy of receiving all good gifts. We come to the table not because we deserve to be there, but because God in Jesus Christ offers a gracious invitation. So before we eat the bread and drink the cup, Paul said that we are to examine ourselves, and then he said we are to discern the body of Christ. Now, when we discern the body of Christ, we're actually recognizing two things. For one, we recognize the body and blood of Jesus as symbolized by the bread and the drink. The bread and wine don't become flesh and blood. They remain bread and wine, but they cause us to remember that Jesus, the Son of God, walked the very earth that we inhabit, that he touched people with healing and blessing, that he lived a life of obedience to his heavenly Father to the point that he gave up his life for the sake of those he loved. In the elements of bread and wine, or whatever we use in their place, in bread and wine in this setting, in this moment, consumed for this purpose, we remember the body and the blood of Jesus. Now, that's one way we discern the body of Christ. The other way we discern the body of Christ is by recognizing that all who receive these symbols of the risen Christ are united with us in faith. By sharing in the Lord's Supper, we recognize that we are part of the body of Christ, which is His church, alive and at work in the world. In partaking these elements, we are united with sisters and brothers in faith at Rocky River Presbyterian Church. We're united with believers in other churches in Rocky River. We're united with souls in Presbyterian churches across the country and around the world. Indeed, we are united with the faithful in other churches of every denomination, in every place, who in every language declare faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master.